On this week's episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast, only two games left in the Hershey Bears season as they attempt to chase history. I give a quick rant about the Arizona Coyotes and take a look at the Calder Cup playoffs. All that and more on the Grit and Barrett podcast starting right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grit and Barrett podcast. It is a Monday, April 22nd, 2024, and the most wonderful time of the year is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Playoff hockey is here. By the time you listen to this, most of the series in the Stanley Cup playoffs have already started. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's delightful. It's truly lovely. I absolutely love it when playoff hockey starts up, especially when we get days like Sunday where you get four games in a row on noon all the way till 10 o'clock at night. It's a smorgasbord, especially once we get to Saturdays. If everything lines up, you could have five games on a Saturday. But just remember, as I tell everyone, love, hug, and cherish whatever of the season remains, because he'll be gone before you know it, and it's a long off season. But I know this is not about the NHL. This is an American Hockey League podcast talking about the Hershey Bears, who have two games left in the season and are chasing history to catch the 1992 and 1993 Binghamton Rangers. So let's see how the boys did in the final two games of the season. As we go back to Wednesday night, April 17th, as the boys took on the Charlotte Checkers, who are still on the road, finishing up a two-game road swing, but also know that they will be going back home this week as they were guaranteed a home playoff series as they locked up at best third or at worst fourth position, guaranteeing them a home ice for their play-in round. I don't call it the first round. It's a play-in round. I know the league wants to have its first round and second round and division finals and playoff. It's needlessly complicated stuff, but that's a rant for another show. The Bears, however, have everything locked up. Everything locked up. I mean, we're the Kilpatrick Trophy. We have the number one record in all the land. Best in the East, best in the Atlantic, won everything. What do we have to play for? Well, we're going for history, everyone. We're chasing the 1992-1993 Binghamton Rangers in terms of being the best team ever. Now, honestly, it's a little hard to compare these two because, as I'll get to a little bit, it's different eras, everyone, and it's kind of hard to say one is better than the other when one played 82 and another played 72. So, all right, let's not talk about that. Let's head into the game on a Wednesday night at Giant Center, Dollar Dog Night. I should know because I saw someone in a hot dog suit. And this was a game that I enjoyed because not a lot of people. It was a Wednesday night, penultimate game. Why is anybody going to show up on a Wednesday night when they're not giving away bobbleheads or Hershey Park passes? Why is anybody going to show up? So I enjoyed having all of Almost 217 to myself. I could sit, I could stand, I could make comments and just enjoy. And the Bears skated on out as it was Clay Stevenson. Let me just double check here. Yes, Clay Stevenson versus Magnus Hellberg. So that's what happened to him. It was Clay versus Hellberg, as most likely Spencer Knight's going to go on Saturday. And the Bears get after him early. They really do get some good in zone time. It's like they know what they want to do. And Matthew Phillips there behind the net, back. No look pass out front to Joe Snively, and he scores! Joe Snively with a great feed from Matthew Phillips gets his 13th, and Phillips gets his third. Jake Massey gets his 8th, And it's 1-0 early. 1-0 Hershey. Great job by the boys. Great job to get on Hellberg early, get on Charlotte early, and get the faithful that are there going early. The Bears do take a penalty as Dmitry Ozepov goes off for hooking. More on him later. And, no, that was last week. But anyway, he goes off for hooking. The penalty kill, the best in the league, as so I'm told, is able to get a puck out. And Matt Strom's able to trip up, chip one up, able to himself. He's on a breakaway. Comes in. He's hooked. Penalty called. It's a penalty shot. Matt Strom with a penalty shot. Okay. I'm sure this is what coach wants. Matt Strom scored the penalty shot winner in Iowa. Why not? Strom skates in on the circles, comes into the slot. He shoots and he scores! Okay. Matt Strom suddenly has the skills competitions touch all of a sudden. Matt Strom, short-handed penalty shot, and makes it 2-0. 2-0, 3 minutes in, the Bears score 2 goals on their first 4 shots. Oh, it's going to be one of these nights. We're just going to put it on to Charlotte, and everything's going to be fine. But Mackie Skubetic takes a puck down low, throws one out to, what's that guy's name? Skoog? Wait, Scoob? No, Skoog, and he scores. Wilmer Skoog. S-K-O-O-G. That's a D&D name. That's a Minecraft name. That's a Final Fantasy XIV online name. That's a RuneScape name. That's a deep cut for all of you who remember RuneScape. That's a RuneScape name. That's not a real person's name. Wilmer Skoog, with the assist to Maggie Smeskovich. I know I'm going to mess it up. And it's 2-1. All right. Charlotte isn't going to go into that night. They're not. They're absolutely not. And power play for Charlotte late in the period as they line up. They line up, power play them. All right, we'll be fine. Let's just get out of the period. Taking some penalties, but let's get out of the period. Will Lockwood wins the faceoff. Over to Mackey. Over to Zampapa. Wide open fire scores. Win faceoff. Pass to the winger. Cross ice. Bam in the net. Not even 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. In the net. Mitchell Vandesoppel, former Sound Tiger, former Islander. I know that name from somewhere, and I'm right. Former Sound Tiger, former Islander, former Colorado Eagle, former Chicago Wolf, and makes it a tie game at 2. Great. All that hard work just erased and undone. So we go into the second. Another power play for Charlotte. We're getting into this penalty trouble again, boys, aren't we? Aren't we? Once again, Mackie Simoskevich comes out of the corner. Wilmer Skoog, him again, wide open, and he scores! Again! Corner! Picks it on Stevenson! Skoog gets his second of the game in 21st. Simoskevich gets his 32nd. Will Lockwood gets his 12th and second assist of the game. And Samosevich gets his 3rd assist of the game. 3-2 Charlotte. All right. And just a really bad period of hockey out of the guys. 20 minutes of bad passes. Can't collect pucks in the neutral zone. And for the entire period, Hellberg didn't really have to do anything. What's happening with this team? Are we losing focus down the stretch? Are we in don't care mode? Are we? I know Dubé's not in. No, it wasn't Dubé. Someone was held on the lineup. No, that was Saturday. But anyway, I know some I'm not going to say this team's quitting down the stretch, but I know focus is hard when everything's locked up and you're not taking guys out of the lineup and we don't have the depth where we can take our key guys out and give some other guys time. Into the third, and it's 3-2. And I'm thinking, I'll be fine with this. We've already got everything. We'll be okay. And the Bears actually do start playing in the third. Now we're winning puck battles. Now we're keeping pucks in the zone. We're collecting passes. We're getting neutral zone play. Where was this for 20 minutes or 30 minutes? Ethan Frank gets a shot, fires one, deflected by LeBose, and we score and tie the game. Are you kidding me? Just like that. Alex Lemieux is 24th. Ethan Frank is 18th. Mike Vecchione is 21st. And we're tied. Did we just turn it on? We just turn it on like a switch. Just like that. Really? And we're just going to win? Our Hershey Bear side just won. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Is that what it's going to be? Like Book of Mormon? Now the two teams are battling. Now it's got a playoff feel to it. And the checkers have it up the point. Cross-site feed picked up. Picked off by Piotrek Dubé. He's in on a breakaway. Dubé in. Shoots. And he scores! Piotrek Dubé scores on a breakaway. This freaking team! Are you kidding me? Piotrek Dubé gets a 28th. Are you kidding me? The Bears with 2 goals in 5 minutes. Really? Dubé gives the team the lead to make it 4-3. And the Bears are able to come back from that, whatever it was, and win it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Charlotte, as Bears win it. 4-3 the final. Shut this baby down, and we are done on a Wednesday. However, after talking to a few friends of mine in 217 and also again on Saturday, we didn't deserve to win that game. Chalk this up as another one of these games this season we weren't supposed to win, but we got bailed out by talent. Our high-end talent bailed us out, and Alex Lemieux and Piotrek Dubé bailed us out. It should have been 3-2. You left the foot off the gas after 2 goals. They get 3. Should have lost it. But they came back and won it. In a playoff feel, this is what they did last April and May and June. And can we do it again? We very well could see this Charlotte team again. We could see them again in a couple weeks. Again, like last year. And we weren't supposed to win this. We really weren't. And I'm not doubting this team. But by the way, we played for 35 minutes. We weren't the better team Charlotte was. Or maybe we just played each other 7 times this year and we just know each other. But passes were off. Charlotte knew our game plan and knew how to disrupt everything. And we shouldn't have won, but we did. And now we're chasing history. Now we're chasing history as we head into Saturday. And it's also playoff awards time, which is lovely. Well, awards time. I shouldn't say that. It always is. But before we get on into that, I don't want to get off on a rant here, but as some of you saw this week, the Arizona Coyotes. Well, I don't want to get off on a rant here, to quote the great Dennis Miller. The Arizona Coyotes closed their doors and closed up shop this season. And I saw a lot of people complaining on social media and how bad this is for this team. It's bad for the community. It's bad for the fan base. I have a 10-year-old who's going to stop playing hockey because they moved. And you know what I have to say? Spare me, Arizona. spare me. I told this to the great urinating tree a couple years ago when we did our Too Early for Hockey Talk. You know what the Arizona Coyotes are? For all of you who've watched 80s sci-fi or 90s science fiction anime, it's a person in a test tube hooked up with wires, an old person with the mask on, and the protagonist walks up to the glass, looks at this person, they open up their eyes, and they say through their apparatus, "Kill me. Please kill me." That's exactly what the Arizona Coyotes are. That experiment in a test tube forced to be kept alive by Gary Bettman. Because Gary Bettman couldn't stand to see another one of his Southern teams fail. The Atlanta Thrashers failed and got relocated, and he didn't want the same thing to happen to the Coyotes. Now, a lot of his Southern teams have had success, created identities, and established themselves in their cities, or won championships. Carolina, Stanley Cup. Florida, finals. Made a community out of there. Tampa, finals. Have a community. Nashville, established an identity. Made the finals. Columbus, established identity and a community. Stars, all three, and won a championship in 1999. Just don't tell Buffalo. You could add Vegas into that, technically. Vegas, established a community, made an identity, made the finals twice, and won one. And if you want to get technical, the California Three. Two of them have won Stanley Cups, and all three have been to the finals, and all three have a foothold in their community. Except Arizona. Sure, Arizona may have built a community, but what did they do out of it? At best, a Western Conference Finals in 2012, only to get beaten by the LA Kings. And I'm sure that on their last night, they went through, you had 20,000 fans show up at Gila River Casino to celebrate the great history of the Coyotes when they were born in the 1990s, when Wayne Gretzky coached their team. Such great names come through their organization like Shane Doan, Oliver Ekman, Larson, and the new generation of Chicherwin and others who were surely going to lead this team into a new future. I'm sorry. No, none of that happened. What it was a social media sob story that they're the victims. But ownership did this to themselves. An ownership that spoiled draft picks. For the past couple years have been so cheap that they couldn't pay rent at Gila Rivers Casino Arena, got kicked out, have to play in a revamped college arena, which people don't like and don't sell me on it, sell me that people do, and have been flirting with relocation rumors for the better part of a decade. That's not a healthy organization. It's really not, no matter how much you spin it to me. Tempe doesn't want you. They voted you out. Take the hint. You're trying to bid on a land out in the middle of nowhere that at minimum needs 5 years just to build and get an arena on? There is no quick answer to this, Arizona. There isn't. You've done this to yourselves. Does it suck that producers and announcers and others are going to lose jobs? Yeah, but don't worry. Don't worry. I want to keep saying Artie Moreno, but your owner will get you a new arena in 6 years at minimum, and eventually have to repay the league $1 billion in return. But don't worry, you're first in line for an expansion, we promise. Let's just ignore that's going to piss off a lot of owners because the other teams they want to bring in an expansion have to pay $1 billion just to get the process started. But don't worry, Arizona will just bypass that as long as you pay Gary Bettman back. But overall, spare me, Phoenix, Arizona, mullet, spare me. Call me a hater, call me a doubter, call me whatever, just don't call me Shirley. You did this to yourselves. You got kicked out of your apartment because you could no longer pay rent, and your uncle stopped giving you money. And now you want to throw a big getaway party and cry over pizza and wine coolers and say just how hard you're going to have it. Sure, Utah has its own issues, but you know what we know they're going to do? They're going to pay their players' hotel bill. They're going to make their arena payments on time and probably just might have some better things than you do. But I'm sure you'll be back. I mean, Bettman's not going to give up on Arizona. The NHL media ain't going to give up on Arizona. But for now, we are giving up on you. You had 25 years to get this right, and you didn't. So long, and thanks for all the fish. That's my opinion. And we'll get to the Bears right after this. Alrighty, Bears fans, the chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Hockey League. From the start of playoff beards to hoisting the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, and odds boosts, and so much more. Folks, if you want to put lines on how many goals Ovechkin's going to score, or how many saves Charlie Lindgren's going to make, or how many goals Nikita Kucherov is going to get over Game 3 against the Lightning and the Panthers, you can get in on that with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN as new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void Ontario, bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.co/ice. For eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources, copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. And now, on with the show. And we're back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast. Thank you so much to DraftKings Sportsbook for sponsoring this podcast. So let's get into it. On Saturday night, it was a chance to get history, as all the Bears needed was just 1 point to surpass the 1992-1993 Binghamton Rangers and establish themselves as the best team ever in the American Hockey League. But before we got to that, it was player awards night for the Bears, the annual time of year where we give out awards for, you know, usual stuff, man of the year, best defenseman, team MVP, and all that. So here's a rundown of who won. AHL Man of the Year, Jake Messi, but that was already announced a week before. Man of the Year is player that's given the most to the community. Every team gets one. The Coach's Award, Most Improved Player, sounds a lot better, went to Henrik Rybinski, which is correct. Really stepped up his game this year to become a solid bottom six player, and there could be more for him as time goes on. Still needs seasoning, but he's taken good leaps and bounds. Although Bogdan Trenriav would also have been the correct answer. Best plus minus went to Vinny Iorio, who's up with the Capitals right now, but somebody will take it on his behalf. The Player of the Game Award, the player that's collected the most stars throughout the season, and that's gone to Pierrick Dubé. Yeah, okay. Didn't really have a good lean on who was going to win this one. Unsung Hero. I had a good idea of who was going to be. My buddy Jesse knew who was going to be, and it was none other than Jimmy Huntington. Knew it. Absolutely nailed it. I had a feeling for the past 2 months he was going to get it, and he's been a great middle six player. Guy you don't talk about very often, but's gotten very timely goals. Alex Lemieux could have fallen into that as well. But Jimmy, very good job out of him this season. You don't talk about him that much, but he just goes out there and does his job. Best defenseman. For a defensive-based team, there's a lot of players you could choose from in this. And we thought Dylan Mikelrath, as the captain, has done very well defensively. Aaron Ness has had a very good season as well. Maybe Vinny wins this. A lot of quality candidates. And your winner is Chase Preske? What? Chase Preske, best defenseman. Best defense. Okay. He's a great two-way player. He jumps in on the offense a lot, but in terms of a best pure defenseman, not really. Okay. Rookie of the year, Clay Stevenson. Duh. Team MVP, Hunter Shepherd yet again. No co-MVP stuff this year. Hunter. Got it. Easily. Even though Clay took the first half one in the article that I did. Hunter, team MVP this season. Rightfully deserved. Why did you shave your beard, Hunter? Why? You shave that beard when we win the cup. Why are you doing this? But anyway, it was also fan appreciation night where everybody gets a scratch off and everybody goes home a winner. At minimum, you get 15% off the team store. And maybe, just maybe, you might get a jersey off their backs, which was the cream jerseys, which they only wore during warm-ups. And it took me and the guys 53 minutes to realize they switched back to their chocolate jerseys. Sure. Sure. But we got a game to play. All we got to do is beat Charlotte. And we can take these guys. We can hang with them. We can absolutely hang with them. Except here comes Charlotte. Down on a 2-on-1. Aslan and Schmidt. Samosevic again. Mackie over to Samus. Samus back over to Mackie and puts it into the net. All too easy. Aaron Ness tried. He really did. Mackie Samosevic gets his 22nd. Rasmus Asplund, as whatever, gets his 35th. Wilmer Skoog again gets one in. Okay. All right. We'll be fine. Checkers press again. Get the puck right in. They're really getting a lot of shots on Hunter. Why are we having so much trouble getting this out of the zone, guys? Why are we doing this? Justin Zardef wins a puck battle down below. Throws it out into a front to a wide open Will Lockwood, who shoots and scores. Picks a corner. Way too easy. Will Lockwood gets his 12th. Justin Zardef gets his 25th. And it's 2-0 Charlotte. And folks, let me be honest here. For the next, let's see here, 15 minutes, 20, carry the one. And for the next 50 minutes of game time, nothing happened. The Bears did nothing. All right. They got shots in, but they were outshot 25-15 by the end of two periods. Passes broken up. Pucks not gotten in deep at all. Dumpins caught, thrown down and smacked out of the zone. Spencer Knight gathering dumpins and flinging them right back out of the zone. Are we playing Coachella Valley again? And nothing is working. Swings and misses on shots because guys are gripping the sticks a little too tight. And here we go again. And it's 2-0 as the clock chips away in the third. More people start leaving. Healthy 10,000. There are a lot of idiots there that night. And a lot of you-know-whats. Because people want to be a winner. Casuals want to be winners. But just a night where I had this feeling. Yeah, we're there. But do we really want that record? I mean, outside of history books, do we really want this? Do the Bears really want this? And dare I say, it just wasn't there on this night. I had a feeling Charlotte was going to play spoiler because they need the 2 points if they wanted to get that number three seed. The Bears, outside of a record, have nothing to play for. Nothing. Just stay healthy. That's all you have to do. Bears pull the goalie with 4 minutes to go and are actually doing decent on the 5-on-5. Throw it to Joe Snively in the circles. Wines fires and he scores! Joe Snively with a laser just beat Spencer Knight short side. Okay. Snively with his 14th. Day with his 19th. Lemieux is 27th. 2-1 with a 1:19 left to go. Crud. I'm invested. I gotta care. But this team can do it. They did it against Hartford. They can do this. They get the puck, get it back. Hunter follows them back up. All they got to do is get the puck in. They do. They get possession. Back out to the point. Logan Day fumbles it. Logan, what are you doing? Fumbles it. Alex Drew gets it. Goes up. No, don't. Don't. Alex Drew comes in and just flicks it. And dang it. And I have so many Fairweather Florida fans going, woo! Yeah! Go team in red! Shut up! Way to go, Logan Day! Way to go! Why did you guys have to do this to me? Why? Why? Why couldn't you just lose 3-0 so I didn't have to care? Now you made me care only to bring me back down. In the 72nd game of the year. Sure. Alex Drew gets his 4th. After the faceoff, off comes Hunter again. Chase Preske tries to get on the blue line, throws it, gets knocked down by Zach Delpy, who works himself around Chase Preske and puts it into the net. Your defenseman of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Zach Delpy gets his 17th because he needs his mandatory goal against the Bears. 4-1, Charlotte. That's it. We're done. Nice job, defenseman of the year. And the Bears don't get history. Well, at least, as best team ever. They end with the best percentage ever. I think it was 779. I think the record in the league was 785 or like 782. But anyway, you see what I mean. The Bears beat the percentage of the God Mode team, of the 09-10 team. And I'm sure there's discussions in the Bears circles. Is this team really better than the God Mode team? And the answer to that is, you can't compare the two. You can't. You honestly can't. The reason being, it's the one played 82 games. It was a different league in a different time. The team was offensively amazing. Defense and goaltending? This team is defensive based with some good offense on weapons. Offensive weapons. But mostly defensive and goaltending based. Some nights more than others. But you know what I mean. You can't compare the two teams. You really can't. And thus ends the Hershey Bears regular season, who end the season on, let me just bring this up here real quickly, end the season at 53-14-0-5 with 111 points. And for the first time in 86 seasons, the Bears did not suffer back-to-back regulation losses all year. Pretty damn impressive, if we did say so ourselves. So, how do things shape up in the Atlantic? Providence got the number 2 seed at 91 points, so Hershey and Providence have a bye. Wilkes-Barre locks up the third with 87 points. Charlotte is in 4th with 85, Hartford in 5th with 78, and Lehigh locked up the 6th seed on Friday night to secure that Springfield and Bridgeport are the teams left out. And I believe I called it in my second half prediction that Lehigh was going to get in and Springfield was not going to make it. Does somebody have a hammer? Because I nailed it. Thank you very much. I'll accept my accolades later. But you know what, boys and girls? It's now time to head into the postseason. It's time to go get the silver chalice yet again. And so what is going to happen with the Bears? Well, now we play the waiting game, boys and girls. Because all this week is first round matchups this week. That's right. The best of three series are all going to get underway. And the two best of three series are Wilkes-Barre versus Lehigh on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in an actual 1-1-1 matchup. Games 1 and 3 are in Wilkes-Barre, and games 2 are in Lehigh. And to the one Wilkes-Barre blogger I follow, he wants a series sweep. He does not want 3. Because who'd want a Sunday 5:05 game in Wilkes-Barre? Me personally, I thought they'd do a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday in Wilkes-Barre, Friday in Lehigh. Try to wrap that up quickly. But the other series is Charlotte versus Hartford, with all three games in Charlotte. Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, all three games in Charlotte, except Saturday and Sunday are 4 o'clock starts down there in North Carolina. Very interesting series indeed, as Hartford will not have the services of Louis Dalming as he got called up to the New York Rangers to be their third emergency backup goalie. Which also Washington did, as they called up Gibson? I think it was Gibson that got called up to be their third. Some thought that might happen to Hunter Shepard. Apparently not. And it's okay. It's all right. They're just used as in case something happens, goalies, and whenever their team's eliminated, they'll go back. Now, speaking of the Capitals, they play the New York Rangers, to which their series will have finished up their first game by the time this podcast goes live on Monday morning. And there is a real possibility that the Capitals could be eliminated before the Bears play their first game. The Bears will not know their opponent nor the schedule before this coming Sunday on the 28th when these series wrap up. If these are quick series, it could start sooner. I mean, if Charlotte and Wilkes-Barre are both sweeps, I mean, if both these series are sweeps, we could find out a lot sooner. But technically, the Bears' first series probably won't start until May 1st. That's how much time we're going to have off. And before all of you start belly aching, we did this last year, and I think we turned out just fine. So we just got to wait and see, everyone, and we'll see where the dice will fall. So that'll do it for the Grits and Barrett podcast this week. Next week, I'm looking to bring Corey Schwartz from the Calder Times in, as we'll probably do a little bit of a playoff preview, and I'll get his thoughts on how the Bears season went as well. Also, keep a lookout on your feed, as we will be getting into some game overs as we head into the month of May. My own little side podcast series where we say goodbye to certain teams and other podcasters as I get in. Now, I'm really hoping that we are able to do another championship run, and I can keep doing this weekly all the way until June. But whenever the Bears series ends, expect some game overs to come out and for me to step away for a week or two from doing this. Don't worry, you'll still have regular episodes pop up on your feed. But the summer podcasts get a little interview heavy and a little weird as we head into the summer, and that's just what you got to do. But we're not thinking about that right now. It's time to go get the silver chalice, boys and girls. And winning it again? No. We're just going to bring it back home. Again. Repeat the roar, they say? I suppose so. It's better than let them cook, or run with the pack, or redemption, whatever you want to call it. But I'll be ready, and I know all of you Bears Nation will as well. Let's go get it. Let's just go do it again. It ain't going to be easy, but it never is. 14 wins to bring the chalice back home yet again. And they'll all be ready, all in the East, all in the West. Maybe we'll go out to the desert, and maybe we'll have to take on the Firebirds again. Maybe it lies in the heart of fire. Maybe it lies deep in the heart of Texas, or maybe to an old friend out in Milwaukee, or maybe a moose goes on a run, or maybe we go to Calgary out west. Maybe we have to play an old enemy in Wilkes-Barre, or take on Hartford yet again, or take on our other El Guapo that lies in Providence. And even if we get out, do we play Cleveland again? Avenge that demon? Is it us versus Rochester? The rivalry rekindled? Or maybe up to Syracuse for a series up there? Or maybe it's none. We go to Canada. Possibly. There's a lot of possibilities where this can go. And they'll all be ready to take us down. And we gotta be ready. And for me, Bears fans, well, I'll make them hear me. I'll make them hear us. Because the line's in the sand and the moment is at hand. And I'm ready. I know you're ready. And we'll be ready as I'll ever be. See you next time. Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, and go Bears.